Welcome back to season 5 of the Girl Out There podcast. We're spicing things up with a blend of mystic wonder to down to earth and a bit silly mom chat. Because the truth is, this is the real life journey I'm on, and I am determined to keep this real. Join me as I connect with guests to exchange insights as well as tips and tricks on nurturing yourself through this intuitive life we're living, as well as Dear Diary Stephanie. Let's dive into this adventure together. Get cozy and grab your favorite cup of bliss. Hi, it's the girl out there, right here with you. It's me, Cindy, and I am so excited because I get to be here with Becky.
Yay!
Oh, Becky, oh my gosh, I could get teary already. I'm so excited because you are here as a part of the Bliss team and, quietly talking in the works. And now we are sharing and now we are here on the podcast, kind of shouting it out to the world. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm very excited. So excited.
So I asked you to come on just so that people can start to get more of a sense of who everybody is. And without really knowing it, we were going to do this as a team. And then timing wise, it worked out that we get to have individual times to chat, which is actually really lovely. So first up, Becky. So I always like to start these chats just by letting people know how I connected with the person from my perspective, and then we can share your perspective. And it's been how many years has it been now?
I feel like it was before COVID.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, well before COVID.
Yeah. I know, right? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So you had booked in for a session, right? Was that
I think I booked in for a session. It could have been because my grandma passed.
Yes, I think that must have been it.
Yeah.
So now we're trying to unpack all the layers, but it was a beautiful session, and we talked about quite a few things, and then I did a distance session for you right after that.
Yeah.
And I had oddly sat, and I still actually can remember this, it's bizarre that I can remember unique or individual sessions given the length of years I've been doing this, but I sat in my living room for you in that session. We were distanced, so not seeing you the way I do them, and I can remember where I was, it was an evening, and then I just did the session, and all of this, all the feelings I had, and then we connected, and I don't know if you even anticipated what was going to happen. Is this correct?
I totally did not anticipate, especially over distance. I mean, at that point in time,
yes.
I was, you could say, skeptical, because I thought, well, that's gonna work.
Yes.
And then I could just feel energy and emotions bubbling at certain points. It was wild.
Yeah. And that's what I always like to say to people is, please be a little skeptical. Please. And I always like to say, just try one. And
yeah,
I just know once people buy in for one, they are in. And
yeah.
I remember sitting there after that session, and some are always can be a little bit more powerful than others, but being in that moment going, wow, like that was a pretty transformative session.
Yeah.
And from there, we stayed connected. We had some months where we didn't talk, and then other months where we would come back together.
And definitely you can share your everything, but you ended up doing some levels of training of energy healing. And from that, more cracked open to where you are now. It has been so inspiring watching you. I mean, there's other parts to your story as well. But even on just on the journey of watching you in the energy side has been really incredible to watch. So, and now you're here working with Bliss.
Yay!
So go with wherever you want to start.
Oh, well, first thing that comes to mind is I was going to say the Reiki training levels that I've done were so transformative. And I think you had said to, you know, give some time in between the different levels of courses. And now I absolutely see why. Because it has completely transformed my intuitive abilities. It's changed so much how I look at things and how I feel things and how I can tune inwards or, yeah, it's been very, very transformative.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I do say that just because I think sometimes you can see the quick fix energy healing courses, right, where get it all done and you can be complete in a weekend, and that sounds great in our world, but to be able to actually allow this to be part of your life, which is the foundation of Reiki, and now as I've called it, radiant energy healing, which incorporates other elements, it is subtle, right? It's these subtle shifts.
It's very subtle. And I think, too, allowing myself time to share it with other people, not just myself or my husband or my kids or my dog, but share it with other people. And that's been huge, too, seeing how other, and like you said, some people may enjoy it and, you know, it was okay. But then other people, even on their first session, profound emotions coming up. It's been wild to experience that. But it's funny. So as I say that, I'm not the one experiencing what they're going through. But I think when they share afterwards what it brought up and what it did for them, it's been amazing. And I think that's part of what brought me to Reiki. I mean, there's a whole bunch of life experiences that we can get into, but also I feel like I'm here to help people, to serve them when they're not well or going through a hard time.
And this is really both. And yeah. Also, when you know that you're living a life with purpose, right? And living your authentic purpose is when you feel that. And we can go backward to parts of your life. I think we can
easily
people to hear how you got to this space. But what just jumped out at me, I get the nudges, was a few years ago, you were wanting to do the Death Doula course. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that too. But you were very uncomfortable with sharing parts of this with other people, and a little worried about the judgment of others in your life. And do you want to speak to parts of that?
Well, I'd say that's always been in the back of my mind. You know, I love the woo parts of me, but not everybody knows them. But I feel like it's only even been in the last few months where I'm really outwardly sharing. And it's actually been, it's been great. All of my silly fears were kind of unfounded. People, even if it's not something they're into, oh, I love that, or that's great, or no, if people are open to it, that's fantastic. And so, yeah, I had built it up in my head to be worse than it was, of course, right?
Mm-hmm. And your background is
in science.
Yes.
So this is the thing, you know, it's not good or bad or right or wrong. It's, you know, I still believe and trust in the science, and I know the science, and I still work in science. But this, I can hold both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I trust and I know Reiki, and I believe in it. Especially coming from a medical field, I see gaps where this can be so helpful and so useful. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a complementary therapy, not trying to take away from anything else. Absolutely to be added to something.
And so for people to know a little bit more, I think this would be great. I know for myself, when I share with people that I do support people through their journey, through healing in hospitals, cancer treatments, knowing, and as I always share with people, this will not heal your treat or your cancer, but this can support you with your rest, with your stress, yes, with your whole family, which is so beneficial. And
emotionally,
yes,
mentally,
yeah, yes, which in turn can actually help the healing process.
Exactly. And to get down to the science of it, it can activate your parasympathetic nervous system,
mm-hmm,
which is going to allow your body to try to heal itself. Because if you're in a stressed state, your body can't do that as well.
Yes. If people wanted to look on the website and see your bio, you can talk a little bit about, you know, what you are doing and how you chose the profession you chose.
Mm-hmm. So way, way back in the day in high school, I just seem to be naturally good at the sciences. Yeah. So, and numbers. I love numbers.
Yep.
I love numbers too. But so when it came to going time to go to university, I got into Simon Fraser University and I thought, okay, well, I'm good at the sciences. I'll take the sciences. I thought I was going to try to go to medical school. But in my first semester of university, my mom was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. So I quite quickly reduced my course load to be able to take her to treatments and be there for that. But I stuck with the sciences. So my mom got through her treatment. She's over 20 years clear now. So it's quite a story. And then 5 years later, less than 5 years, about 5 years later, my dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer. At this point in time, I believe I was starting my master's degree in science because the medical school thing didn't work out. But for a reason.
Reason, yes.
Right? Absolutely, yep. For a reason. So I was doing my master's and my dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Again, he survived that. And living through their experiences and actually part of my thesis, which related to DNA damage from UV light, which can cause cancer, I tried to get a job in cancer research, which is ultimately what I did do and where I still am now. So,
And the amount of emotion that you like could feel still from something, you know, that happened how many years ago?
Yeah, that I didn't think was there anymore, but it still is.
But it is still there, right? Mm-hmm. That close connection, obviously, but the parent going through something, but you're going through it too. And that's always what I talk about too with energy healing, right? Those emotions that are still with us.
Yes.
And talking about it is as important also as healing on the table. So I think just you being able to share this with people, it's just all there. So when you chose cancer research, what are you doing?
Oh, I work in a lab where there's lots of different things going on. But one of my favorite projects is I get to interact a little bit with some patients. But they have to be advanced disease. So stage four metastatic. I think experiencing in those patient rooms, what I do, the doctors are amazing. The techs are amazing. The nurses are amazing. But I still see room for more compassionate care, more holding space, more one-on-one time. I definitely feel a need for more individualized care for each patient. And I feel like Reiki could bring that.
And there are areas of the world where it is something that is in hospitals, right?
Now, hospice, yeah.
Yeah, and covered by some medical programs, right? But still not here. So I agree, because I know when I've done it in children's hospitals for those patients, and also for people at end of their life, and so, you know, family members have asked for it to support their loved ones as they are crossing over for those last few weeks. You see that ease for them, even for those who are sitting next to their family member, to be able to have energy healing for themselves.
Yeah.
The amount of pressure and stress on everyone, I just also thinking about, even for people working in that environment, for yourself, you are holding a lot of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think too, it's seeing patients who have just been diagnosed and people who have been going through years of treatment, and maybe it's come back. And so all these different situations, and now they're coming into a room where they have to undergo a procedure so we can get a sample, a tissue sample. And I would just love to be able to spend time with them beforehand or afterwards, or, you know, the weight that they're carrying. It's palpable in the rooms for sure.
But when did death doula come into this?
I think I did the death doula course first.
Okay.
And I think volunteering a little bit in hospice and sitting with my grandfather hours before he passed. Definitely brought a different awareness to those situations and the spiritual side of it for me. And I think there, even in those dark times, there can be little glimmers of light. And I think I would love to be able to provide that and support people in trying to find that.
I know for myself, when doing that work for people and being able to write for them or write for their family member, whether it's through their connected guide, and giving that space, it does give that sense of peace to you. So did you do that as a practice, or just were you ever offering that?
I did. It's a little bit hard of an area to get into because, again, end of life doulas aren't widely known or recognized, and people don't really know. They figure, oh, well, hospice can provide all these things for me. So, and there are different types of end of life doulas. There's some that work on definitely all the paperwork, making sure you have all your papers in order and records and everything you need. But I was definitely more drawn to the physical, in-person, one-on-one type of support. And Reiki just seemed to go hand in hand with that. It seemed like a really good fit.
Yes, and I should call it end of life. I'm only used to the one person, I think, who called herself a death doula. So I
no apology neither.
I love I do like end of life. That's a much more beautiful way to say it.
People are scared of the word death.
Death.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Which is so interesting. But so I think you weaved it in, and that's when you really became connected to Reiki.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And myself and my own intuitiveness and abilities. Yeah.
And so I think that's what's so interesting for people to hear, because I think what they sometimes hear is like, well, then this is what it must be. I must be the end of life doula. And then if that doesn't fully feel connected, then they're like, well, then I guess this says, I don't know, it can't be anything else. Right.
Yeah.
And so when you started doing the energy healing, what happened?
I,
for other people or for yourself?
I feel like for myself, I had a deeper connection to myself and my body and my spirit. And I also had this connection with my kids. You know, when they went to summer camp, I was getting feelings and images pop up. It was definitely a different kind of connection. It was all kind of amplified. It's always subtle, and it was subtle before, but it was definitely amplified afterwards. And I think,
and was it when you're saying like those, the images and the feelings, when did those come? Was it while you were doing a session, or what would, like, was it during the day? How would that happen for you?
It also got me into a better practice of taking time for myself and doing morning meditation and doing some journaling.
And so your plunging?
My love language. I love cold plunging.
Sorry, I'm just going to say this now because I think when you're saying that, getting into your own habits, I really feel like that is the subtle piece that people don't really recognize, and what this energy line does. And it's part from myself that I do as well. But I don't even really realize that now that is just my life. When I don't do it, when something happens in my life that collides, that this is no longer what I'm doing, things feel very out of sorts for me. So when I, now it's like, well, of course I've got 95 journals. That's just what I do. And it's like go to bed early and right?
Yes. Yes. And I get up very early. I get up extra early so that I can have that time for me before I go to work. Very early, before anybody gets up. It's magic. And the cold plunging, connecting with nature, connecting with some like-minded ladies in the community. It's, and a little bit of a ceremonial piece to it, kind of acknowledging how your week was and releasing anything you want to out to see. Yeah, it's everything's so lovely.
I did one cold plunge with you. It was beautiful. I loved how it was a ceremony. It was so nice. I didn't think it was going to be as beautiful as it was. I thought it was going to be horrible.
And a whole bunch of screaming.
A lot of screaming. But it was just so lovely how you had that intention, right? And as I'm walking out with seaweed and then, you know, letting that go and what that imagery was for myself. It was so solid and tangible to, and I think you can explain that. You were saying, find an element of something you want to let go, that you're ready to release. And we had to look across the beach for something that we wanted to release, whether it's a rock, whether it's a feather or something, right?
Yes. And I think it's the intention behind it too, like you said, and finding. And it's not magically going to disappear, but I think it's the sitting with that. And we did a little share, and it's giving you time while we walk the beach and we're looking for something to symbolize kind of what we want to release. You know, I've picked up pine cones before because they were prickly and I was feeling prickly that week and I was ready to let go of those frustrations and angers and, mm-hmm. you know, and then every time I get in the water, it's finding that peace, that calm, connected to nature. And I just find it magical. It's hard every single time. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. It's a deep connection to nature.
Yes. And I didn't want to let go of mine right away.
Yes.
Something so fascinating for me. I was like, I don't want to let it go. And then I had to go with my thoughts to go like, wow, that's interesting. But I love how that's been for you, this this solid piece of yourself. And so this is, sorry, you created all of, we went off on a tangent, but you have created these pieces for yourself and these practices. And then energy work is part of that. I think I don't know when it was that I connected to you to say, you know, are you ready to make this a practice?
Yeah, when was that?
I don't know. It was probably a few months ago because I mean,
several months ago. Was it
fall?
It must have been the fall, right after summer, right. I think. Yeah.
Knowing that I was like, okay, I'm going to put this little bird in your ear and maybe practice, and you were ready.
Immediately, yes. Yeah. Immediately, yes.
Yeah.
Scared and nervous, but immediately, yes.
Yeah. And so what are you hoping for people? Like if people are wanting to work with you and what have you been finding now working with others?
Oh, I'm so excited to share it. So I find even sharing with my friends lately, it's still not as widely known about as I thought. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm looking forward to just working with people who are open to it and not just one time, because I know, like we touched on earlier, everybody's looking for that quick fix, you know, the quick course or the quick fix. And I know people who have been struggling with their own battles and they went, oh, I'm going to go to Reiki, and they expect everything to be fixed in one session. And they go, oh, but I didn't really feel anything. And I think too, just sharing that, you know, one session is great and it can be fantastic, but it's not going to fix or cure anything or everything. Yeah.
I think that's such a great point, because as I try to say, like, imagine that you are like looking at a large pile of, not that we are filled with garbage, but like a large pile of junk. And it's all the emotions, and some of them are filled with beautiful ones, but there's like 45 years of like emotions.
Baggage.
Yes. Right. And
deep
so
time.
You just going for one session and you're like, whoa, well that was like a shovel in there going like ding, and it cleared out a little bit. Great. If it got through. Right. It cleared out a little bit. But I have now been doing regular energy healing sessions for close to a decade. And I can guarantee I will continue to do these for the rest of my life and know that I am only like 10 shovels deep. And
yeah. Yep.
And so
I think it's so different for everybody too. Hmm. So it's hard to say this is what you're going to experience because it's so individual.
Yes.
And it varies so widely. Some people, even if all you get out of it is an hour of relaxation and time for you to just sit inwards, I think that's great. But other people do experience a lot of other things.
Yes. Yes. But that's, I mean, like 1 hour is like 4 hours of REM sleep.
Yeah.
Which shows up, I mean, whether they know that or not, that's what the studies are, right? Because I actually wrote that today because some people are like, oh, no, I just fell asleep. I missed it. I'm like, no, you did not miss it. I guarantee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So I think that's just the awareness for people to know that it's okay. The more work you do, the more clearing you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. And just as much as I love giving the Reiki, I also love receiving it. And yes. I get that reminder when we do the sharing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so important too.
I sent a note to somebody tonight, was like, I worked a little bit too much. I need it. Because constantly I'm asking out from our group. So people who know that, who get their training, we always get from those who've done the training. So I am the first to be like, are you free? Because
I
need it.
I love it.
Yeah. So when you talk about just a... watching our time. Wow, that's like we went that was a lot we just shared in there. Good. So if somebody was to come to meet with you, what would be something you would want them to know?
Oh, that it is a safe space. There's no judgment. I'm here to support you and whatever you need to work on. Yeah.
The amount of feeling you always have is why I know that we have the same, if it's end game, we have the same drive, and why I have so quietly waited for this space, because I just know we're here for the same purpose.
Yes.
And truly why I know that this is, your bliss, I think, is this is what we want. We know that the person receiving is an ultimate power, and we are there to support them. And I'm so honored to be here beside you, because you have so much knowledge and so much kindness and so much grace. I know that those who will be with you are going to be in such safe hands.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That means a lot. That means a lot.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know this is, it brings me joy. It's people say, oh, don't you get tired? No, I don't. It just brings me alive. I know this is my part of my purpose.
Yes.
And this is how I can help people.
Yes. So good.
Yeah.
So when will you be working? On hours and off hours. When are your on hours?
To start, I'll have my availability most of the day on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So some Sundays I'll be doing it out of your studio.
Yeah,
I also am mobile. So if that works better for you and you're local,
mm-hmm.
in the North Shore
area,
Vancouver area, I am mobile, so I can come to you if you've got mm-hmm. quiet space.
Yeah, I love that. It's just because our listeners can be anywhere in the world. Yeah. So just in the North Van area, maybe a little bit outside that.
I'm not paying for my flight.
Yeah. Not going to Vancouver or California. And the other thing that you're going to be adding on is the distance package, right?
Yes.
Yes. So we might as well share it now. It's just not quite on the website, but it will be soon. So a distance package of 3 sessions.
Yes. Yeah. And then hopefully in another month or two, I'll be able to add some weeknight availability as well.
So good. It's very exciting. Yes. I it's so nice to see how this is all growing, and we are doing it at our pace, which I love.
Yes. We're all happy with that.
We're all happy with it. And so everyone can see you at the website and on Instagram. What's your Instagram if they want to meet you there? And is it just through mine?
just for yours, and I also, I'll be sharing some stuff on love and healing wishes.
Okay, perfect.
At love and healing wishes. Healing wishes,
yes. But they can definitely see you there too at mine.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us again today. And as always, I leave you with a simple yet powerful invitation. Pay it forward. Take a moment today to do something kind for someone else. Whether it's a smile, a kind word, a small act of generosity, let's create a ripple effect of good in the world when it is needed more than ever. Have a beautiful day.